We're talking about the impossible. We're talking about how God not just can, but wants to, and we are the ones that limit Him to. This has been one of our staple verses here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing will be impossible for you. Very simply, in unbelief, I'll say this over and over again because, you know, for years the word unbelief hadn't been taught. They just said that that's just lack of faith. Well, that's not necessarily correct. Unbelief is believing the five senses, believing the natural more than you're believing the truth of the Word of God. It actually starts with giving more attention to the natural. We've got to guard ourselves from giving attention to natural things. Now, we don't ignore our responsibilities. My kids aren't going to go, you know, hungry and clothesless because, oh, I'm fasting. I ain't got time to go grocery shopping, which we got to go grocery shopping. But anyway, you know, we got stuff. We got some, you know, we got a freezer full of deer. If worse come to worse, we can start eating that deer. You know what I mean? And so all that being said, we've got to watch what we give our attention to. So that's what the verse, that's what unbelief is. It's because of your unbelief. You're not seeing impossible. He said nothing will be impossible to you if you don't have unbelief. But then it says a couple things in that. He says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, tiny, tiny. Now the reason why he's talking about tiny faith is because you don't need a whole lot of faith. You just don't need all that unbelief. Because see, you can have a teeny weeny, teeny tiny bit of faith. You know, mustard seed's tiny. You know, we're looking at like poppy seed. You know poppy seeds? You know, I love going to that burger place in Fort Worth when we go to Believers Convention. It's one of the best burgers, and they cleaned up their dress attire this year. I put a TripAdvisor deal on a review on this restaurant. Great burgers, but you know the staff, they just wear some pretty skimpy things. So I call them the Hooters of hamburgers on TripAdvisor. And you know what? I'm glad I did because, correct me, Keisa, their attire was a whole lot better this year. And so that's probably why they were aggravated because they knew they couldn't wear what they wanted to wear. But anyway, you know what? Even if it's just for the week that we're there, that they fixed it, that's all right. But mustard seed is about like a poppy seed. It's real tiny, but of course we know that that little seed can bring a big bush, all right? So it's not the size of the faith that is the problem. It's the size of the unbelief that's trying to cover up the faith or swallow up. And so if we're meditating on the problem, now we call that worrying. Meditating on the problem or worrying about a problem, then you're building your unbelief. You're building that and you're eventually going to crush what little faith is there. Now, we can build our faith and exercise our faith so it's no longer just a little mustard seed faith. But at the same time, when we start growing our faith, the enemy recognizes that he's got to step up his game. He's got to do his best to wear us down. Now, wearing you down is probably one of the main tactics he uses quite a bit. You remember, you know, people misinterpret this, you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh. But you know, the Bible explains what it was, a messenger of Satan that came to buffet or trouble over and over, trouble Paul. Now, what is this troubling? It's all these little things. It's persecution. It's the enemy stirring someone up to dislike you. We've got to get used to people not liking us, and we've got to get over that. We've got to get past having this need to, I almost said popular, but that's not it. This need for attention and for this, and I just want people to like me. We've got to get past that. And the reason why is because the enemy will use that against us. And I hate to say this, it's very minute. It's in reality, this whole, you know, well, they don't like me, that's a very minute thing. But the enemy knows it's so easy to stir up a heathen and drop a thought in a heathen to say something ugly to someone. And then all of a sudden we are all twisted out of shape. We are falling apart, you know, and all of a sudden we're in our emotions. You see, faith is in our spirit, not our emotions or our flesh. And when our emotions, our feelings are stirred, our faith is on the floor being trampled. And so we're going to have to start getting past that. Okay, trouble, different things that happen. Now we had to deal with some messengers of Satan in our area. Man, you had the first night we moved into our house there, or first time we turned the heat, yeah, first day before we moved into the house in Poetry, the heater. We thought the house was on fire. You know, we smelled something burning. The heater wasn't coming on, but it tripped. Went up in the attic. The attic had a bunch of smoke up in there, so we're flipping breakers and all that kind of stuff. So we had, I think we were in the house for, was it a week before we got heat in the house maybe? Or a little, maybe less, hopefully less, I don't remember. But a matter of fact, thank God, we got our guy came in there the night that we were having the coldest of the fall during that time. And so we went from that, and I can give you a list, okay? Then we went into the car problems. Then we go from one car problem, and here we're dealing with brand new appliances, you know, $1,000 a piece, and then we had to fix one twice. Finally got a new one, refrigerator fixed twice. What am I saying? He's trying to buffet us and wear and steal our time. Steal our time and our energy and our emotions when we have got something to do and we've got to push forward instead of messing around with a bunch of just piddly junk. You know, we were trying to put up this pool all summer long, and the kids and Kiza swam in it last night for the first time. We're so excited. I'm telling you what. And then with that, we saw a couple of snafus that we got to deal with. You know, it doesn't surprise me because, listen, this fall, God has got great things in store for the ministry, not just for me, but I believe for this house right here as well. You know, many of you know some of the opportunities that came up getting to minister at a big men's conference, and then with Brother Jesse down there in El Paso, and then in Tulsa with ICFM. And then I got an email this week from Texas Bible Institute, the Bible college Keys and I graduated from. They invited me to speak at a seminar in October as well. And so, man, I am excited to bring the Word of God. And then yesterday at our school, we had the first prayer meeting that we've had since I've been at school. This is our fifth year, and we had and it was good. Man, when it started out, the presence of God in the gym was awesome. And you had, there were two Catholics. There were two Catholics in there, you know, Ron Reed. And so, man, Catholics were in there. We had Methodists in there. I mean, I'm telling you what, and the presence of God was clearly there. What am I saying? God is doing things all over because of this house. And if we get stuck in these little things, man, I'm telling you what, we will never push forward. That's what I always tell folks. You know, I can look around. Man, I'm spitting everywhere. I'm slobbering. Man, I'm not like T.D. Jakes. I don't need a cloth to wipe my head. I need to wipe my mouth. And anyway, I'm just kidding. No, I'm good. It'll stick to my lips. I'll just, you know, napkins fall apart. Anyway, I'm just so excited. I'm foaming at the mouth. All right. Hey, listen, my first time I preached when I was 17 years old, I was so nervous. My mouth was so dry that my lips were sticking to my teeth. And so when I went home, my prayer was, little Assembly God boy, my prayer was, Lord, don't let that ever happen again. And the Lord believes in abundance, right? And so from that moment on, it was a rain shower. And so that's why, you know, Janie's not here, but I feel sorry for Janie and Maria sometimes. If I go over there, they might get rained on. But anyhow, and so what I'm saying is this, is we've got to be cautious of what we're giving our attention to. We've got to be cautious. Look, let me just read this again. Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it does not take much faith. It just doesn't take much. Now, let's continue on in the same passage. You shall say to this mountain, if you have faith, you're not going to talk about your problems. If you have faith, you're going to speak to your problems. Do you see the difference? You see, when we complain about our problems, it's only because we have no faith. And so we are thinking if we complain about it, maybe the squeaky wheel will get the grease. Well, I can tell you this, but our confession is what's going to take care of the situation. Now, I believe you take care of things in the natural as well. You got to do your due diligence. But what I'm saying is complaining will increase our unbelief. Speaking to the mountain will take care of the mountain being the problem. So if you had a tiny bit of faith, well, Pastor Michael, I'm just not there yet. Listen, I know you got at least tiny bit because you couldn't get saved without some faith. I mean, God's given us all the same scoop, the very first scoop, the very first measure. Now, see, I'm already thinking about ice cream. I think about scoops. So the first scoop of faith, that's on Him. Isn't that cool? Hey, Jesus is like, you know what? First scoop is on me. Yes, sir. All right. And so we got the measure of faith that everybody else has at the very beginning. And that faith got you saved. And a lot of people, the moment they got saved, they got delivered. A lot of people, man, I'll never forget this gangbanger got saved in his bed, in his bunk bed there at the camp that we go to. And at the moment he gave his heart to the Lord, he started speaking in tongues. And I actually was jealous. I was mad. And the reason why, when I was 18, I was 21 at that time. When I was 18 is when I finally got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I went to a religious church. And you had to beg and beg and beg, and begging is not faith. And so, you know, and so anyhow, so I was a little jealous. I was like, this gangbanger gets saved, and now he's speaking in tongues. Okay, so I got my heart right. And so anyhow, so if you believe, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say this mountain. And listen, you wouldn't just talk randomly. You would tell it what to do and believe that it's going to obey you. You know, this summer was an exciting experience with that tornado that was coming right toward the house. And, you know, I had to consider, do I really believe what I'm saying? Because if I don't believe what I'm saying, I better take cover because I'm going to get killed. And so I had to think about that. Now, I didn't think very fast because I didn't think very, you know, it didn't take long to think about it, in other words, because I believe this stuff. And I thought about David later. I thought about David. David went out there and talked to that giant like that giant was a stupid idiot. You know what? I'd love to get my friend John over here and tell him what he heard me saying. Because, I mean, I was cursing. Not cussing. I was cursing. And I'm telling you, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, it had no choice. It had no choice but to get out of there. I didn't care what it had to do, but it had to not touch me. Now, it didn't move, and that didn't move me. And finally, when it got to the fence line, it finally started going up. And when it got to my fence line, it was up further. So when I watched it go over the house, and it didn't have enough wind to suck off a shingle. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I had to believe. My believing wasn't praying. It was hollering and commanding that thing to go. Now, the problem with me is this. I've only exercised that kind of faith in a life or death situation. Why don't we exercise it in other situations? You see what I'm saying? We have got to live that way all the time. You mean with a hangnail? I'm saying with a hangnail. You mean when my wife chips a nail, she needs to believe God for a free set of nails? Yes. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, we have got this. I'm talking about myself. I've got to start using my faith for everything. If you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, this problem, this issue, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. This verse we've been reading in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible. Now, let's turn over into Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21. And we'll share this and we'll wind down. Numbers. When's the last time you've been in the book? Where is it at? Right there. All right. I can get it. I know where it is. It's in the Old Testament. All right. Hadn't moved yet, has it? All right. Numbers 21. And I want to start at verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" You know, when you choose to live by faith, you are getting rid of natural guarantees and natural security systems, natural operating systems. And when you do that, you're so used to all these, you know, these safety harnesses and safety this and proverbial airbags, I guess you can say. You always have a safety net. Well, you know, I got this to fall back on. I got this to fall back on. Well, this is my safety net. This is my buffer. I got a pad just in case. You know what I'm saying? And so all these things we're so used to. So like these guys, they weren't used to living like that. They were used to the government providing them food. You see what happens? When you're used to, this is what they were, the Egypt government was providing their food. So when you're used to a governmental system providing you everything and now you have just cut off your supply, you get scared. And an outflow of fear is anger. An outflow of fear is anger. Fear or anger is a byproduct of fear. Anger is a byproduct. So here they are. Verse 5, they spoke against God and Moses. I mean, they spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Worthless bread? God got manna, caused manna to be on the earth, spiritual, I mean, just supernatural substance, and they are angry about that. Listen, when we are learning and stepping out, walking by faith, I mean, I'm not going to say you're going to have, you know, steak all the time. Now, it could be tube steak, but you know, start out with some. I'm not going to say you're going to have ribeye all the time. You start somewhere. That's great. Somebody gets start that way, and that's wonderful. But what I'm saying is be grateful and thankful for the little blessings, the little increases. You know, a lot of times we overlook that and we're, you know, and a lot of times our vision is so big that we forget that there's some, well, you know, I don't want to overlook, I don't want to be, you know, forget all the good little things that God did. Man, we got to remember those things because those are great stepping stones and they're milestones, they're notches in your belt. And even David had notches in his belt. You know, when he went to go fight Goliath and Saul and the rest of the people said, you're just a boy. And Goliath was been a fighter since he was a boy. David said, look, I took care of a lion, I took care of a bear. See, those are notches in his belt. You know, if we haven't believed God to get rid of a sniffle, what about when the enemy tries to hit us with something bigger? Well, you know, I don't use my faith for a cold. You know, that's what Benadryl and NyQuil and ibuprofen, that's what that's for. Man, listen, I'm telling you, we better exercise. Ain't nothing wrong with medication at all. But what I'm saying is we got to exercise our faith as well. Amen. All right, verse 6. So the Lord sent, or the word sent here, remember King James was translated in a causative sense, but the Bible was spoken in a permissive sense. So God doesn't have fiery serpents to send, okay? So that is an error with King James. Now remember King James, he was Church of England. Church of England was started because the Catholic Church would not allow divorce, and Henry VIII was getting a little tired of all the wife blood on his swords. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, right? And so he started his own thing. And so it mirrored the Catholicism, which doesn't utilize the truth of the word right here. And so again, is he really going to allow the King James Bible, or Henry VIII, King James came after that, is he really going to allow this Bible to be translated in a way that they don't even operate? So that's why it's important to study. Paul said to research, to study, show yourself approved. I say all that to say, so the Lord allowed a fiery serpent among the people, and they did bite the people. Many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that he take away from us these serpents. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and then make it out of brass, and set it on a pole or a standard, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole or a standard, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now I want to just show you something, because very simply, this is a representative of Jesus taking the curse of the law on the standard or on the cross. You know, a standard, or we call it a flagpole nowadays. We raise up a standard or a flagpole, all right? A flag, the purpose of a flag, or any kind of banner, was communication. You know, back in the old days, when there's thousands of men on a battlefield and they ain't got no walkie-talkies, no headsets to send orders to the, you know, the next guy, there's two ways of communicating: a trumpet, and flags. So you have the archers toward the back, you got those guys back there, and so the guys toward the front, they would raise up a certain color flag when it was time for the archer. So the archer saw that and they knew, okay? So when you saw something, you got it. You realize, okay, I gotcha. I see the standard. Okay, well, here we have something was destroying the people that was killing them, these serpents. And so God said, make a fire, the thing that's destroying these people, make an image of bronze, okay? Bronze represents judgment. Bronze represents judgment. And so what God is saying here is now the thing that was destroying or killing is now judged. And so put the cursed thing that's now judged on a standard, you can call it a cross, on a standard and raise it up. And when people look at that thing, they realize it's judged, it no longer has the right or the ability to hurt them anymore, but now because it's judged, the effects of what it did have to be reversed. If they look at it, then they will live and it will reverse and change their situations. Now, where am I going with this? Very simply, it's this. In Matthew chapter 6, I believe 21, 22, it says, if your eye is single, you are full of light. But if your eye is wicked, then how great is the wickedness? Now, let me just explain this. A wicked eye is an eye that's taking in light and taking in darkness at the same time. You see, an eye that's single is only looking at light. Now, Psalms tells us the entrance of God's Word gives what? Light. That's exactly right. So, no matter what your situation is, no matter how impossible it looks, if you're staring at the problem instead of staring at the answer, then you're going to get darkness. And how great will that darkness be? Now, check this out. It's easy for us to think if we're staring at the answer and the problem, surely that can help. But the Bible in Matthew 6 tells us it can't and it won't. And it's a deception for me to think I can look at the problem and look at the answer and maybe one will overpower the other. Hopefully the answer will overpower. No. It takes me putting all my thought, all my meditation, all my attention. Proverbs chapter 4 says to attend to the Word of God. Attend or attention. The Word of God demands our attention for effectiveness. And if we're not going to do that, we're not going to be effective. And that's why there's lots of little things, frustrating things that always seems to happen, or we're not pushing forward with the next thing. It's very simply because our attention is divided, and it's not like sucking in this word over here while we're looking up this. Surely it's going to do something. It does nothing. You see, God's Word demands our ultimate attention. I was watching the Victory Network this week, and one of the things Pastor George said, he said, it was an old episode, he said, 20% Word equals 20% faith. 37% Word is 37% faith. 100% Word equals 100% faith. And it's as simple as that. What are we giving our attention to? Listen, there are lists of problems, issues, situations, and circumstances that we can give our attention to. And they, when I say they, I'm talking about your situations, because your situations speak to you. Your situations, circumstances, problems, issues are telling you you are irresponsible if you don't give us your undivided attention. That's what your situations are dictating. If you don't think about us, you are irresponsible. What kind of parent are you for not thinking about the problem that your children are having? What kind of spouse are you for not considering this about your spouse? What kind of dad or supply of your household are you if you're not considering how you're going to meet the needs in this house and to pay the bills? You are irresponsible. No, that's not the truth. The truth is not what your circumstances dictate, and it's surely not what the world dictates, but it's what the Word of God dictates. You see, if we recognize from the Word that your problem has already been judged and that now you have the responsibility of believing for a reversal, it's not going to happen if we don't believe, if we don't give our focus. If we don't give our focus. Now, this is just crazy, and I'll end with this. Crazy. Here, God is saying, you got fiery serpents slithering all around you, attacking you, and you have to look at a bronze one on a stick? You can't look down there at the things that's hurting you? I mean, I bet that's pretty hard. You got serpents slithering around your feet and all that kind of stuff. You know, at the house, you know, and Brother Chris lived out in the country, probably. You got to look around. You walk into the barn, man. You got to make sure you kind of peek around that box, you know, or that whatever's on the ground, you know, before you reach up under something. I had to get these big blocks out of this high grass yesterday, and I thought, well, let me hit the high grass with a couple sticks and make sure there's no, you know, snakes around there. You know, it'd be my fault if I stuck in my hand in high grass that I can't see under. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and so that's if you don't see them. But if you see them and they're all around you, biting your friends and all that stuff, and yet you've got to look at you can't be doing this, because this is not what he said. He said, do this and give your attention to the truth of the Word of God. If we really are serious about change, if we really are serious about going to the next place in our families, our finances, our health, and in the destiny that we were created for, it's time to give total 100% focus to the truth of the Word of God and zero, goose egg, no focus to the problems that are being forced in front of your faith. Let's stand. Thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word today. Thank you that the light has come on. Father, I thank you from the moment people started walking in this place, your spirit was working on hearts. Father, I thank you that the challenge that you've been giving us throughout this day and from this point on is to believe for bigger, to believe bigger for increase, supernatural increase. Father, you every year, you give one of our prophets a word to believe for the year. And Lord, it's been relayed to us today, Lord, for abundant harvest. Why? Because there is an abundant work to be done. There is an abundant work to be done. And so, Father, today we recognize that. And God, we recognize that the enemy has tried to light little fires so that we can run around putting out fires all the time. He's been trying to wear us down with little things, medium things, and big things. But Father, today we realize that he's always going to be trying that, and we've got to stop letting those things annoy us and take our attention. And so today we choose to turn and focus back on the promises that you said you'll meet all of our needs, that you said that we were healed by the stripes of Jesus, that you said you'll even cause our enemies to bless us. Father, I thank you that you said that you would change the hearts of man to be at favor with us and that we would have favor in many places. Lord, I thank you that you said you'll open doors no man can open and you would close doors no man can close. Father, I thank you that your prophetic word over and over has been to quit believing what you can figure out and start believing past what you can think about or imagine. Lord, that song this morning was perfect. Lord, you're leading us past the safety of the shore. You're leading us out into the deep and commanding us to believe, to walk on water, and to do the supernatural so that your kingdom will increase, so that lives will be saved and lives changed, families restored, a marriage is restored. Father, I thank you that we recognize that today and we make the choice to begin to focus on the Word and not situations. And Lord, as you begin to restore vision to many people, and Lord, those who have never had a kingdom vision before, I thank you for bringing a kingdom. What are we doing all this for? I thank you that, Lord, because of the kingdom vision you're showing them. And Lord, there may not be, maybe they don't have the kingdom vision just yet, but Lord, they're connecting to the one of this house. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to grow our faith in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I believe God's doing some major things on the inside of us. He's opening the eyes of our understanding for one thing. You know, this house does a lot of stuff. And one of the things that that Lord just prompted me just to mention to you, something that's been going on in Christianity for a long time, and that is depression in ministers. Depression in ministers. You know, here in Rockwall, a very prominent, one of the larger churches in Rockwall, the pastor was out for several weeks, I think 8 or 9 weeks, but one of the reasons, depression and stress, dealing with depression. I had a comment was given to me recently about ministers that are dealing with that. Matter of fact, Ministries Today magazine, a magazine that's put out by Charisma magazine, they put out an article regarding pastors. One of the biggest problems in churches today are depressed pastors, and so one of the ministries that I have is helping encourage those. And one of the reasons why is if I encourage one pastor and he's got 20 people in his church or 200, then just ministering to one pastor is going to bring increase to that whole church. And you say, well, what does all this have to do with us? Well, when you are a blessing in this house, it reciprocates. It goes on beyond this house and other houses as well. And so vision, God is restoring vision. This morning, if you are ready to step out into deeper water, if you recognize that, you know what, I've been playing it safe for way too long, or maybe you've been walking out in the deep and you're ready to go even deeper, I'm just going to ask you very simply to slip up your hand and slip it back down. And that is the point of contact. That is the point of, that's the pulling of the trigger for your faith. You know, we've talked before about this whole Belize thing, and now we're believing for a building here, don't get me wrong. We are believing, we are looking, we are believing and really pursuing God, seeking God on this, because we want our own place. We want to be able to do more and do greater things. And we have vision for children's ministries and youth ministries and young adult. We have all kind of vision for stuff. But at the same time, we have my fivefold calling is apostolic, which means I don't just pastor. I do a whole bunch of other stuff. And so we are believing for property in Belize. I mentioned before, $2 million. Now, I don't have a price tag for the one here yet. I haven't seen it. So, and God said He'll take care of that. That's all right. And so $2 million. Michael, you ever believe $2 million before? Never have in my entire life. And so am I concerned about? Not at all. Not concerned about that. You know, we're going to believe. We're going to get property over there so we can fulfill the vision that God's given us for that place as well. And so if you are ready to go and stretch to the next level, I believe it's time. I believe that God is working on all of us. You know, I appreciate Valerie priming the pump, you know, getting us to believing for bigger. I enjoyed Pastor Victor's message last week, man, about jumping on to vision, following to vision, falling to that place God has given us. And I heard Brother Copeland say this. He said, you know, if someone buys him a suit to go and minister someplace, that person is getting a harvest, the same harvest that he gets for going to the ministry. Man, I'm telling you what, somebody pays for the fuel to go and do that. Somebody pays for the gas or the oil change so your pickup can be good working order. What I'm saying is you've done things. And it's time to start expecting God. Well, Pastor Michael, we hadn't really touched anybody in the church lately. Well, if you've been here and you've done something for me or for the kingdom, man, it goes way beyond anything else. It goes beyond. It goes far. It goes real far. Yesterday, I said some things at our school's prayer meeting that I've never said in that particular group. And, man, I saw some lights come on. I've never... I've never gotten my excited Pentecostal crazy excited, but all of a sudden at the end of the prayer meet, the initial part of the prayer meeting, the school president asked me to read out the armor of the Lord. Well, I can't just read it out without explaining some things. My last comment was, this armor is not a defensive thing. It is an offensive thing, and it's time to go and take what belongs to us out of the devil's hands. And man, I tell you, there were some people that got excited. I'm like, whoa, man, I didn't mean to get excited, but they. What I'm saying is, God is causing effectiveness in this region, and it's time for us to believe that you are a part of it. I want you to make this confession after me. Father, I thank you that I have vision, kingdom vision, to touch lives, marriages, families, people, children, youth, young adults. I'm touching lives. I'm winning souls. And everything I do in this ministry, in this house, and other ministries that you connect me to, I'm winning the lost. And Father, because I know this, I also receive my prophet's reward. Because you said, if I do something in the name of a prophet, I get a prophet's reward. But then, Lord, you also said, if I give for the gospel's sake and for Jesus, I skip past 20 and 60-fold. And I can go straight to 100. So I receive 100-fold right now in Jesus' name. Amen.